episode 13.
Because of the way my shop is set up, I don't have to be here anymore. I feel that that's when you know that you've made it to a successful place.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. A warm welcome to Amy Matinet of Auto Craftsman from Montpelier, Vermont. Hi, Amy. Hey, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I am ready to share my results.
Hi, Carm Capriato here. Today's guest, a Montpelier, Vermont shop owner, tells the story of how she evolved from being the shop's bookkeeper to service writer and then to the owner of the shop. Amy Matinet of Auto Craftsman is a numbers person and has a strong passion for marketing. She also shares where that came from. She loves to learn and teach, so as she says, her shop is running by itself and it allows her to travel, speak, and be the president of the Car Care Council's Women's Board. Hey, we'll air a special On Point podcast with Amy, focused specifically on the Women's Board, in a future episode. Listen to the energy from this Women's Board Top Female Shop Owner of the Year in 2012. She describes in detail why her waiting room is like home and what her foundation of excellence is all about. She gives workshops and keynote speeches on a variety of subjects. If you see the show notes, you'll find out all about that. She says her formula for remarkable results is having good systems, exceptional employees, providing nothing but excellence in customer service, along with, as you would expect, a good marketing plan. Enjoy this high-energy interview, and remember to learn just one thing and put it into action. Here we go. So, Amy, tell us about your business.
The name of my business is Auto Craftsman. We're a four-bay shop in Montpelier, Vermont, in the state capital.
Ah.
Which is very interesting because the state capital of Vermont is the smallest state capital in the United States. And there's only 8,000 people that live in our state capital.
Wow, that is tiny.
It is. So we are rural to the extreme.
Okay.
During the day, especially when legislation is in session, we will swell to 15,000. But still, 15,000 people is not a huge database to pull in from. So we have to be very creative. I think it doesn't matter where you're at in Vermont. You have to become a destination if you really want to have the car count.
I see.
So we've been very creative over the years to make Auto Craftsman so special that people will want to drive from far away to come here to get their car worked on.
How long have you been in business there?
Auto Craftsman's been here 20 years.
And you bought it when?
I started out as the bookkeeper.
Uh-huh.
And I was the bookkeeper for about 3 years. And at that point, we only had half of the building. So there was the owner, he had a helper tech, and then I did the books. And we took over the rest of the building after 3 years. And I came on full time at the front desk. So I was kind of a pseudo service writer. And because I'm a number girl, I noticed very quickly that we did not have enough car count to sustain the growth. Because when you take over the rest of the building, you have more expenses. So I kept poking the owner and saying, we need to do something quick because there's more money going out than there's money coming in. And that is not a good recipe to stay in business. So I love the story. So one day I'm sitting in the owner's office and I looked into the recycle bin. And I see a little green booklet. And on the booklet, it said 101 ways to market your auto repair shop money back guarantee.
Now, what was it doing in the garbage?
So the owner had signed up about 3 or 4 years before that for a free report on how to market your business. And the fella who owned the business, Sinron Marketing, whose name is Ron Ipack, as Ron says, you market to somebody until they buy or die or tell you to go away. Mm-hmm. So because he never told him to go away, he just kept marketing to him. And he would send him faxes and emails and snail mail. And the owner was just like, this guy was driving him crazy because he was always sending him stuff and he would just throw it in the garbage. So I pulled it out of the garbage and I followed the owner around all day saying, we need this. We need this. It was like $100, $125. And he kept saying, I'm not giving that guy any money. He drives me crazy. But I'm a bulldog who bites onto something and doesn't let go. And so I started doing one by one. I would do it and check it off and do it and check it off. And they were working. And it was very low cost because it was like guerrilla marketing. So long story short, I went, I joined his coaching group. I ended up joining his, he had a high level group, Pinnacle Performers. And we would meet four times a year and talk every month on the phone. And I probably studied with Ron Ipack for 7 years. And he brought in another guy named Dave Dixon, who he was the consultant for Shopflow, how to find good employees, how to fire people, how to create systems, how to be a leader, how to communicate.
So you really started to get into this business training side. Yes. Even before you bought the business.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And it was interesting because it was just fascinating for me. And I love to learn. So I'm like sponge learning all this stuff. And the business is growing by leaps and bounds because I'm applying everything that I'm learning.
If true differentiation brings value to the customer, what's the strongest differentiation at your place?
I don't know if there's just one. Everything we do to the nth degree. We take it to the next level.
Okay, so you're sitting down with your people and you say, hey, we're not doing this. You know, this is our Everest. What would that be?
Excellent customer service.
Okay.
I want every customer who walks out the door to go, wow, that was the best auto repair, appointment I've ever had. So examples, you walk into my waiting room, it looks like a living room.
Got
There's
it.
The only thing of any kind of auto repair hanging in my waiting room are pink wiper blades. Just
okay.
Because we sell pink wiper blades and they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we have a very comfy couch, comfy chair, a beautiful desk for people to work at. We have a kid corner. We have a lending library. I have millions of plants. We have local art on the wall from local artists. I'm really into supporting any kind of local small business, especially the arts.
Sure.
We have a multi-selection, coffees, teas. We have snacks. Comfy, cozy. We have a 4-bay shop and we have 5 loner cars.
Ah, okay.
We have a shuttle van.
Here's a question. You have loaner cars so people can get up and leave, yet you invest in the experience inside your business and the comforts, the quality comforts. Is that kind of an oxymoron where you want them to leave but still you want them to stay?
No, I like it when people stay. I want to be whatever they need. I want to serve their convenience. Some people, they don't want to go. They just want to wait for their oil change or their inspection or whatever and then go. Why would they want to take a car and drive away and turn around and have come back? So you need to be able to serve as many people's convenience as possible while at the same time knowing who your customer base is, your perfect customer, so that you're not advertising to everybody, you're advertising to the demographic that fits your business.
That's interesting. I wrote a white paper, a blog on our site, remarkableresults.biz, on the perfect customer. And I would love to actually discuss that with you and see if I got it right for you. Strong teams win, Amy. What is your winning formula in developing your strong team?
I always try and hire people who are smarter than I am. So I want a fabulous service advisor. I want a fabulous customer service rep. I want fabulous technicians. Everybody who works for me, I want them to be the 20 percenters. You know, the 80-20 rule?
Sure.
I want the 20 percenters.
Yeah.
So I pay them lots of money. They probably get paid more than any other whatever they do in the state of Vermont.
Yeah, but are you doing that because the pool is so small?
No, I'm doing it because I want the best quality so that everything about my shop is the best quality. And you cannot ask for the top dollar. And if you don't provide I call it the foundation of excellence, so that you want to, you know, get a really high labor rate, which we all deserve, then you have to have the right physical appearance of your shop. So your waiting room needs to be excellent. Your bathrooms need to be excellent. We bring customers back to the shop. I like to be very transparent. I like it when I have a new customer and they're sitting in the waiting room. We offer a free 44-point safety inspection, $75 value, so that they sit there and wait, and then we can bring them back in, and they can meet the technician, create a relationship. It's all about relationships. Create that relationship and be very transparent and educate them. Then when they walk out and they thought they were just getting an oil change and now they need wheel bearings and struts and a tune-up, then we give them the loaner car. Oh, don't worry, Mr. Customer. We can totally take care of you. I know you have a meeting that you had to go to. I'm going to give you my car, and you're going to drive it, and you're not going to worry about anything, and we're going to get this all done, and you can come back later.
Thank you. Let's talk about the responsibility that you have in purchasing parts for your customers. What makes you choose those parts and your supplier?
My perfect supplier has staff who are knowledgeable, who are going to send me the right part the first time. They understand that I am their customer, and they're going to bring me the parts down lickety-split. And if I have a problem, they're going to take care of me. And I found that in a family business. They're called Burlington Foreign Car Parts. They've got, I think, 3 stores and a warehouse up in Burlington, Vermont. They're my first call, and we probably buy 75% of our parts from them.
Lickety-split. Is that under 30 minutes?
Yes. Their closest warehouse is probably 10 minutes from me. And they would come down with one spark plug in 10 minutes if that's what we needed.
Is there anything you feel your primary supplier could do to improve your business relationships?
I have them pretty well trained. They call me the queen bee. And So when I ask something, they say, "Of course, Amy." And I say, that's the right response. I love you guys. But again, it's all about relationships. You find the best, and then you create I always say you date your customers, you date your vendors, and you date your employees. And if they all feel taken care of, then they want to be a part of your life.
They want to be in the family, right?
Exactly.
Excellent. Very good concept. How important is the warranty program that your supplier or manufacturers gives you on the parts?
Very important.
What do you mean?
I need to be taken care of. My customers expect that if I put a part on their car and it fails, that I'm going to replace it. And of course I will. It's the right thing to do. So I'm going to turn around to my supplier and say, okay, I'm your customer and your part failed. What are you going to do for me? I expect them to take care of me. If they don't, then we're going to have a conversation and then I may start looking to get a supplier elsewhere. But my first call and my second call, they do that. So I don't have to worry about it. And I'm very loyal to them as they deserve to be because they treat me right.
So, Amy, good stuff, by the way. Thank you. What's one thing that has you fired up right now?
I would say the thing that has me fired up is, it's hard for me to say one thing because I've got my irons in the fire all over the place. But I'm the president of the Women's Board of the Car Care Council, and that has become a huge passion of mine. It's supporting women in the whole automotive business, from technicians to shop owners to women in distribution, wholesale, retail, the associations, tool companies, tire companies, heavy duty companies. And we have 2 conferences every year, leadership conferences, where they have personal and professional development. We all get together. We have a big reception at Apex. We give away awards. And I'm having a ball being the president. It's a 3-year term. And my goal is to have, I want like 200 women coming to the conferences. We've got it now from 50 women. I think our last conference we had 90 women. And my expectations for the summer conference will be about 150 women.
Those are great goals.
So that has me fired up. I'm just loving it.
Good for you. And let me tell the podcast audience that we're going to do an in-depth interview with Amy on the Women's Board, and that podcast will be released real soon. What's your biggest strength as an entrepreneur?
I would say my biggest strength is, okay, I'm going to explain this in a fun way. I was at a conference once, and we did a exercise on what's your superpower. And so my superpower is I'm action girl. So I have a little cartoon figure with my little cape, and on the back of it, it says action girl, because when I come up with an idea, I do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't wait until I figure it completely out. I think it's a failing of a lot of shop owners who are technicians who are going to do it the right way. And so then they wait because it's not good enough yet. It's not good enough. And I think that you just jump in and start swimming and take action. And then you can see the results and tweak it. But you have to take, I say, massive actions in many directions, and I'm very good at that.
So the philosophy is you can never be perfect, but get good, get it out, and then make it better.
Yes, yes. And the other thing I feel that has really helped me in my career is that everything I do, I want it to be a win-win. So when I hire someone, it's got to be a win-win for both of us. When I have a special, when we run specials, you know, especially when it's slow, you need to market and you have to bribe your customers to come in. Every special I have needs to be a win-win, and I combine it with something I call charity marketing. So I combine it with the Vermont Food Bank or the Central Vermont Humane Society or Toys for Tots. And there's an excellent program that shop owners can get involved with called Breaks for Breasts. And so if they went to breaksforbreasts.com, they could read about it. And it started out as 5 shop owners. Last year, we had 160 shop owners. And we're doing a special promotion in October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, where we give away brake pads to our customers, free brake inspection and free brake pads. And then we take a percentage of the brake job and we donate it to the Cleveland Clinic, to a Dr. Vincent Tuohy's research. He's an immunologist who has created a vaccine that is 100% effective in mice preventing breast cancer. And so we've adopted Dr. Tuohy. And every year it grows. It was 5 shops, 10 shops, 15 shops, 30 shops, 60 shops. And then this year our goal is, you know, over 100. And we have raised over $200,000. And because we all started out, the core group were all part of Synron Marketing. So we're all very good marketers. So we've gotten a lot of spotlight on Dr. Tuohy, and we have escalated his research, because when you try and you come up with a new drug, it's a very long process taking it from research to actually having it on the market. But we've accelerated that because we've gotten him so much spotlight that the plan is he now has a drug company that's producing the serum, and he's going to start testing in women this year.
That's
which is
great.
Huge.
If there's
huge.
Anything that the podcast can do for you, let me know. Keep people informed as to what's going on, and even trying to grow the participants for you. Amy, hey, what's your greatest challenge right now?
My greatest challenge is I want to do it all. I want to do it all. I have my auto repair business, Auto Craftsman. I have a marketing business where I teach marketing to small business owners. And then I'm also the president of the Women's Board. And on the top of my goal list this year has been travel. So I've been doing lots of traveling. And so I juggle a lot. I want to do it all. And
thank God you're not a perfectionist.
That's right. Right. Because I want to do it all.
So how do you manage this work-life balance?
I leave the shop at the shop, and I leave home at home. And I, because of the way my shop is set up, I don't have to be here anymore. I feel that that's when you know that you've made it to a successful place, is when you're working on your business instead of in your business. Now, sure, I have to substitute on the front desk for my service writer and my customer service rep when they're on vacation or when they get sick. But mostly I'm back in my office doing a little marketing because I have all systems in place to do it, but I tweak it. And then I work on my marketing classes, and I work on the women's board, and I don't have to be at the shop so much. So I don't think I have that challenge that a lot of shop owners have.
Thank you. What's the best advice you've ever received?
There's a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It was written in, I don't know, the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take that title and just say, think and be successful. Think and accomplish a goal. It's the same theory. I think they just picked that title because it's so catching. But his theory of how to accomplish things is my theory. It was the best book anyone ever gave me. And I've probably read it, I don't know, 20 times. I have it on CD. I listen to it in the car. I also have a mastermind group that I facilitate once a month. And I have some top level other type of businesses who come to the shop every month. They pay me money to talk to me. It's so cool. And we're working on our goals. We call it our kick-ass goals every single year. And we use the Think and Grow Rich book to lead us forward so we can all have accelerated growth, I call it.
So how often do you reevaluate?
Weekly, because I'm totally into having goals, and I have special papers, and I look at them every week, and I look at my numbers every week. I'm always looking. You know, if you wanna see where you're at and move it forward, then you have to pay attention to it.
Got it. Since reinvention is so important in business today, and you seem to at least look at yourself and where you are weekly, what advice can you give service providers to break out of mediocrity and do exceptional customer service?
I would tell them to go to Disney World. This is how I took my business to that next level. Is there are a lot of books about why Disney does what it does. And I recommend that you read every book you can find. And go to Disney. You can completely write it off and take every back tour that they have, because everything they do is for a reason. So I have taken that back to my shop. Everything I do for a reason. It's mindful. And it's, again, how do you create that wow experience? Because Disney, they had Kodak come in and create places where people would stand. And then there's a sign here, picture place. And so you put your family in the place and you take your picture, and it's going to be absolutely perfect because Disney set it up that way. And everybody takes their pictures. You want to see my vacation? And then they sell it.
Yep.
So there's that 80% of my new customers come in through referrals because I have it all set up that way.
I had a chance to go to Disney Institute too. And let me book in what you're saying to put a little substance to put your comments. Here's a couple takeaways that I had. It's not our fault, but it's our problem. Another takeaway was you treat your people the same as we want to treat our customers.
Mm-hmm.
And this was really good. Going the extra mile is hard, but the extra inch will make a difference.
Yes.
And then finally, they don't teach people how to be friendly and engaging. Here's what they say. They tell their cast members to make eye contact and smile, and everything else happens from there. Those are some great takeaways, and I appreciate your thing on Disney. How important is social media, like Facebook, in your business?
I feel like social media is another way to network Again, everything is about relationships. So social media, you're networking online, and it's all about having a conversation. So if you really paid attention to the people that are responding and commenting on your business's Facebook page, they're probably the same people over and over again, because it's the 20%. It's the 80-20 rule wherever you look. And so, yes, it is important to have those conversations, and it's important to give them, educate them, and give them funny things to look at. Because I track a lot, I love to, it's all about the numbers. I find that the type of Facebook entry that I do that gets the most eyeballs and sharing on it and comments is when we take a picture of something on somebody's car that is, I call it a Hall of Famer, you know, where the people were, they came in because their brakes were making a funny noise, and you take apart the brakes and they were stopping on the backing plate. You know, it's like, really? And so I call that a Hall of Famer, and I take its picture and then I put it online. Or I like to do the ones of any guesses what this is. And people like that, so it's fun. But I really think that all those things on Facebook are about having a conversation.
All right, so you're not out in the shop every day, based on what you just told us about how you work in your business. Do you have your people engaged to look out for these opportunities?
Oh, yeah. They've got a camera in the back. We have a smartphone on the front desk. They like to do that kind of stuff. I really like to connect my staff with the customers because, again, it's all about relationships. And so my customers have relationships with my customer service rep and my service advisor and the technicians. So, yeah, it's all about they want to engage with each other.
That's great. A while back you talked about, listen, we've got to do these things because we want to get a great labor rate. Are you posting labor rates at quarter hour, half hour?
No. I'm a AAA approved shop, so I have to have my labor rates posted on the wall. That's one of their criteria.
Mm-hmm, right.
But how I have it posted is anywhere from, I have it from $35 to $89.97.
Depending on the job?
Yes, and I that's all I put. And then we have the conversation because you're not getting $89.97 to do an oil change.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's, you know, $10.
And is that price for your, say, top diagnostics work based on the marketplace?
Yes. My labor rate is higher than the local dealers. So where I should be for the quality of service that we're giving is we should be over $100 an hour. But can I do that? Vermont is always 5 years behind everybody. I still don't get cell coverage at my house. It's just we're a very rural, small state. So I have to go with that. And I'm just very careful. I charge for shop supplies. I charge a $4 technical fee on every ticket. And customers say, what's this $4? And I say, well, I have the latest, greatest scan tools. I have Identifix. I have Aldata. I have Mitchell 1. I got them all. I got everything so I can fix your car the fastest way possible. And they look at me and they say, okay. So you have to be creative sometimes to get what you need, but you have to make sure that your expenses are covered.
What's a big concern or threat to your business today?
The thing I'm watching right now is the whole telematics. For years, I used to be worried about hybrid and electric cars, and I'm not as worried about them right now.
Why telematics, though?
Because it's...
You think it's going to be a threat or an advantage?
I don't know. It's so science fiction. I don't totally understand it. I don't know if anybody does yet. They're going to connect to the car to be able to communicate so much with it that I worry that there'll be a lag time before, because I feel like we're going to have to fight for the information from the manufacturers and the dealers, and I hope there won't be a lag time where we kind of get left behind. But I don't know if that's realistic. I don't understand it, so it
okay.
makes me uncomfortable.
You know, you've just kind of motivated me to think about doing an entire podcast on telematics because I've got some very heavy background in it. And so, but I don't want to go too far into it right now.
And when you do, I know a shop owner in Denver, Colorado, who is all over it.
All right, great. Good.
So I can pass you his name.
Please do that, because mm-hmm. we may
Here,
be
I'll
able
make
to get
myself
maybe.
A note.
Yeah, make yourself. Thank you so much. Where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years besides traveling the world?
I think about that a lot. I have three strategies. One, I am going to hire a manager to do the numbers and the marketing and all the little things that I still do here. My second strategy is I'll bring in a business partner, and I'll kind of be the silent business partner who just kind of checks in on things. Mm-hmm. And that way they'll be very engaged. And then my third strategy is I would sell the business with the understanding that they are going to take care of my cars forever, because I never want to have to pay. I don't know how people afford to get their cars repaired. You know, I see some of these bills coming out here. So I want my cars taken care of. That will be part of the deal.
It's like the doctor who wants health care forever.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But I don't know. Right now, everything's, you know, fine the way it is, and it all works. But I do think about those kind of things.
So let me make an assumption, because you're so involved in the industry and of course, your marketing company. Where do you see the industry going in the next 3 to 5 years, and where do you see yourself in it, even if you retire a little bit?
Even if I retired a little bit, I would still be fully engaged in the sense of consulting, especially marketing. I feel like I have a really great understanding of marketing, and it works. I was taught by the best. So I would like to help other shop owners. I feel like if they can learn how to if they understand they need to create the good foundation and then how to market it, it can just really change how their business, it makes it so much easier. And so I love that. And I write a lot. So I do a lot of car care articles. I write a lot about tires and products. So I get to do ride and drives. I've been flown various places by Michelin and Firestone and Nokian, and I get to test drive their tires, and it's wicked fun. And I love doing stuff like that. So I would do that more.
Keep doing that. There's always going to be a need for that. Look, I've had an incredible interview with you. I've learned a lot. You've got so much on the ball, and I think very well grounded in all the things that you're doing. So I want to give you the last word, and here's my question for your last word. Give us some great words to live by.
Nothing happens without taking action. You need to take action to move forward and make everything you do a win-win for everybody involved.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.